brought my little pack horse with me this morning, Cricket. She's just a little thing, but she'll illustrate what we're talking about. This is the third message that I will be sharing down at Big Sandy on February 23rd, 24th, and 25th. It turns out that this is the first one I will share. The other two fit so well in Acts, where we were. We did those in the reverse order. So anyway, this is, I'm going to take Cricket down there, and we'll load her up. And to kind of speed things along, I already have her with her pack saddle on, and she's cinched up. And one of the things you need to have on your pack horse is a good pad, and so she's got a memory foam pad, so it'll be real easy on her there. And so we'll begin. We got her hitched up here to the hitching post, and so she doesn't get too far away while we're trying to get her loaded up. Now, admittedly, for those of us that are training at home, there's going to be some challenges, and there's unexpected things happen. We get sick, we break a leg, something goes wrong in the house. All kinds of different pressures come besides just getting the academic things done that we want to have done. And so sometimes we kind of ask ourselves, how do we keep it all together while we're doing the training? It just seemed like there's so many areas where it could fall apart. And the passage that we had read in Matthew 7, 24 to 25 really is part of the key here. It says, whosoever heareth these words of mine. The word heareth means not only just to have the sound come in, but it means to receive what was spoken and value it. So the first thing we've got to do is we got to say, all right, Lord, I really, really value your word. That is the most important thing to me. And not only do we hear it and value it, but we got to do it. We got to put it into practice and use it. And if we do that, he says, we are going to have troubles. The rain will come and the wind will blow and the floods will come. But we'll be founded on the rock, and we'll do okay in spite of the fact that we have troubles. So the question is, how do we go about doing the Word of God? And this morning in your note handout, you'll notice I put in a bunch of pictures. Originally, the idea was, and Barak helped me to get those electronically, that we could shine them up here on a screen and you could see it. But then we had to get the screen, we had to get the computer, and it was just too complicated. So for the time we had, we printed it for you to look at as we go along there. I think that the foundational idea about keeping it all together is that it all starts with a heart desire to build our lives and our families on God's Word. That's the foundational concept, that we're going to build our lives and our families on God's Word instead of just adding God's Word on to our families once in a while. We take them to church, we take them to this event, or we take them to that event, but we don't really build it. It's not the foundation for our family. And that is the thing that I think is vital. Now, we've been suggesting that there are two foundations that we need. And the first one is represented by this Manny. Now, what is a Manny spiritually? Remember? Prayer. Okay, so prayer is going to be an important part to us. And the Manny comes from the Spanish manta, and the mani is just a small tarp that's used to hold the thing together. And so I think a prayer is just sharing with Father and communicating with Him, building a relationship with Him. Just think about it. The supreme ruler of the whole universe has invited us to have fellowship with Him, to talk with Him, and to go over things with Him. The second thing is rope. And we're going to use rope to represent what? The Word. So we're gonna use prayer and the Word. And now I thought it was fascinating when I was reading along there in Proverbs 6 in verse 21. It says, "Bind them upon your heart and tie them about your neck." So when you bind or tie, that reminds us of a rope. And you bind and tie with knots and lashes and hitches. And so so God is encouraging us to tie these ideas into our life. Now remember our definition of a good knot. It's easy to tie. It's got a hold. And it's got to be easy to untie. And if it's not, it could be a real problem. One trip that we took into the backcountry elk hunting, I tied a horse to a tree. We got the elk loaded on. It was very steep. I couldn't reach the saddle horn from the downhill side of the horse. We finally got the elk on there. The horse started acting up, fell down, slid down the hill, couldn't get up, and so it put a lot of pressure on where it was tied to the tree. The problem was it put so much pressure, I couldn't get it undone. And I had to end up cutting the rope in order to get the horse up. So it is vitally important that you can get them untied as well as get them tied. And then there's a lash. And I have taken a rope and I've lashed this feed together here. It's tied up. It's lashed, and that's the hitch. And you heard of the hitching post? This is the hitching post. The horse is hitched to that. And so I think it's fascinating that in the New Testament the believers were called followers of the way. That was a way of life that they were going to live. It wasn't just something that they were going to go join up with something and say, well, I'm a part of this organization or whatever. But they were followers of the way, that this is how they were going to live. And they were doers of the Word. So the first thing that we want to do as we're getting ready to pack up Cricket here is we want to manny everything up. And I have worked at that, and I have it here mannied up. Essentially, that means that everything you're going to take is inside something. Okay, now go back to your first picture there. Everything that's in that picture that is not a tree or something of the wilderness had to be brought in on the back of a horse. Okay, there's a number of mannies, there's ropes, there's a harness, there's a tent for eating. What's inside the tent for eating? Well, you got your food. There's a wood stove inside there to cook the food on. You need your utensils to cook the food. You need your utensils to eat it. And you need some way to, some kind of a table and a place to sit while you're in there doing that. And then there's the second tent. And then that tent's a sleeping tent. And inside the sleeping tent, you got your sleeping bag. You got an air mattress or a sleeping pad or you got your clothes. But there's also a wood stove in there because when you're elk hunting, it's often below zero. And it's just too cold to be in there without having some heat. So all of that Now you notice the guy standing out in front of the tent there, he's got an axe. That axe had to be brought in. You also need a shovel when you're in there, and so you got to bring the shovel. So all that gear has got to go on your horses when you're taking it in. Now, to be sure that you got everything, it's important that you have a packing list. Okay, you don't want to get there and say, "Hey, we forgot, you know, whatever, the frying pan, let's say." Hey, it's 19 miles to the end of the road, and it's 60 miles to the nearest town. You aren't just going to go buy one. You got to have it there with you. So you need your packing list. But a lot of times we don't manny up because we say, well, we're just too busy. And we get distracted with other things, and the day comes and it's ready to load. Now, I think that there's another factor in this that is important, and that is balance. If this side weighs 20 pounds and this side weighs 10 pounds, there isn't a horse on earth that is going to be able to take that load in without it slipping under it. You need to have a balance. Now, these two packs have got different things in them, but you need to weigh them to where you can get them within a pound of each other. And so you have different things, and then you got to be aware that that for the average horse, you can only take 150 pounds on it. Now, Cricket's, she's just little. So we're not going to put 150 pounds on Cricket, but we've got 50 pounds here today that we're going to put on her be enough for her. So we're manning it up. We're getting it all inside of something, but we're being very careful about this is going to go on this horse and this is going to go on the other horse. See, we're not just talking about one horse. If you got four horses, hey, you got to have some organization to this thing, and when you get out there and start loading them up. So the next picture in your notes there is the long and the short of it. When you start loading the horse up, the horse feels kind of short, and you can handle things pretty well. But once you start getting the load piled on there, it's hard to reach up and get a hold of it. And I think we'll see that as we go along here. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to begin packing up a Cricket. And so we'll take this pack, and we'll start on the offside over here. And these straps will go over the... And this is called a crossbuck pack saddle. And we just get it on there and settle down. And it does all right. Now, I want to show you something, and I can't show it to you once we get the other side on. So I'll share it with you now. We're going to lash the load on, and we're going to tie it to the pack saddle. Okay, so here, put this rope on this side of the crossbuck, and we'll put this one on the other side of the crossbuck, and so then we put the other pack on. I'm glad Cricket doesn't kick. Okay, there's the other pack. And then we take this gear in here is a game bag, you know, optimistic we're going to get an elk. And there's a bunch of other clothes and stuff. Put that on top. And then we'll get the grain. Put that on top there. Now, it'd be possible to lash this on by taking this rope I hooked on to the saddle and tying it on there. And now if you're just going to go a short ways, and if your horse is used to packing, that probably will get you there. It might, as long as the horse is walking. If it starts trotting, it's going to all bounce around. And if it starts jumping around all over the place, you're going to have a real problem. And that's that picture there in your notes, where the next to the last horse is bucking and jumping. And what sets a horse off like that? Sometimes it's just something in the pack rattles. And that sound was unfamiliar, and so it scared them, and they go bucking. Or it might have been the horse in back took a nip out of its flank in the back. And, you know, not all horses like each other. And so sometimes you got this thing going on, and if you just got it lashed on, you got a problem. You're not going to get to camp with all this on there. So we learned that it isn't only important to get it all manned before we pack it, but we learned that it's important to manny the whole load once it is on the horse. And so I'm going to undo this manny here. And we're going to take it and we're going to put it over the top of the whole load. And get it out of Cricket's eyes. And now this is prayer, right? So we've been praying about the whole thing, and now we're going to put the tarp on. So we tuck this in here. We tuck this one in here. Like that. Then we tuck this one in. So we got the manny on there, but the manny isn't going to stay there unless you do something else. And so we're going to take this other rope, and we're going to put on a diamond hitch. Now, diamond hitch is very significant, and I want you to be sure and not miss this. When we lashed the load on, what did we lash it to? The saddle, right? The saddle is cinched to the horse. But with the diamond hitch, what we're going to do, we're going to anchor the load to the horse instead of to the saddle. And I got this through over here. Now, by the way, this cinch is just a pretend cinch. A regular cinch is 6 inches wide, and it's got a 4-inch D-ring on the side and a hook on this side. And so what we'll do is that the thing that I was amazed at in horseback packing is that numbers of times I got into the camp after we had traveled, only to find out that the saddle cinch was hanging loose a full inch underneath the horse. But the diamond hitch cinch was still tight, and so the load was in good shape. And so I've got it there. I've kind of got it set here. And so we're gonna tighten it up, and I need to get this, move Cricket over a little bit. It's all, hooked up on the other cinch. Well, Okay, now we're going to tighten it up. And then we're going to bring the rope under this side, catch the mani. And then up on top, we're going to take two turns between these two ropes that are gone over. There's one, and there's two. And we put our rope through there. Get our mani down nice and tight. Then we come under the other side, up through that same twist. Pull that down and get over the top here, back through this cinch ring. Then put a trucker's hitch in here. And put a locket there and take the extra rope and stick up here. Okay, now this is it's tight here, it's tight all the way around. Now the thing that's neat about the diamond hitch is that any direction that the load gets pressure, the diamond hitch holds. Now let me show you why it's called the diamond hitch. I think I can do it here. See the diamond that made on top? And so that's why it's called the diamond hitch. Well, lost Cricket's head here. So, one time my father had borrowed a horse and had gone in elk hunting, and the horse had never been packed before. And they got onto a steep section of trail, and for some reason that horse reared up in the air. And when it reared, the weight, actually this 50 pounds is pretty good pressure even here. If you had 150 on there, it would be even more. It reared in the air and it overpowered the horse. And the horse rolled end over end over end 9 times down the hill. And when the horse quit rolling, it stood up and was kind of shaking. It wasn't hurt. But the amazing thing was none of the pack came off. A diamond hitch held it together so that even with that kind of commotion going on, it was all still on there. And it kind of saved the horse in a way because it made it like a ball. But it was going end over end and then landing on the pack. I tell you, I saw that once, and it is an awesome thing to see a horse going end over end down a hill. So it will hold it in place. Then after you get it loaded, then you got to tail them up. And that's point number 3 in your notes there. He's tailing them up. And the reason I put that picture in there is for you to understand, taking us about a half an hour to load Cricket. If I got 4 horses, we got 2 hours to get in this load on. So after I get Cricket loaded up, I leave her hitched, and then I got to take the next horse and get that one loaded, and then take the next horse and get that one loaded. And then they took and hooked them all together, and you hook them together with their tails. Here's Cricket's tail, and you just take it and make a loop and hook it on there. Now, I think it's important for us to realize that the reason that we have the manna here is that we want to keep everything there so we can get there. But there's some other reasons. What happens if it's pouring down rain? If you have a manna on there, you get to camp and everything will be dry. But if you don't have the manna on there, it'll be wet. And I tell you what, there's nothing worse than getting into camp after a hard day on the trail of getting a load and everything, and have your clothes wet and your sleeping bag wet. Okay, the manna keeps it dry. And then it keeps the dust out. And then if the packaging breaks in there, it'll keep it all together, so you still get there with it. So there's a lot of reason for us to use the manna. And there's also a lot of reason to use a diamond hitch, because that hooks it to the horse. As we're going on in. Now, with this, we can get into the camp. Then once you get into camp, it's going to take a little while to get Cricket unloaded, right? And then you got to set up and get everything organized and so on. But once you get all that done, then there's the whole challenge of the hunt itself. You've been dreaming about going elk hunting for a year, making plans, getting your gear together, making your to-do list, you're doing all this stuff, getting ready to do it, and you get out there, and you got all this anxiety. We got to get an elk, you know. And it's too hot, or it's too cold, or it's too snowy, or the wind's blowing, or all these challenges that come as you're going along. And so we learned that it was important when we get there that we have packed a Bible. And we also learned that it was important to take two character qualities along with us, a hard one and a soft one. And for the hard one today, we're going to say determination is the hard one. And purposing to accomplish God's goals and God's time, regardless of the opposition. And then there's patience, accepting a difficult situation, ask from the Lord without giving him a deadline to remove it. We got to be patient. Now, I tell you, for the first 4 years that we were hunting off of horseback, we struggled with being discouraged. And we'd get up and we'd eat and we'd get out of there about 4 o'clock in the morning and get out on the stand. And if you're not seeing elk, you're not seeing elk tracks, it was discouraging. But after we started doing devos in the morning, wisdom search, and looking for what God had to say about determination, what God had to say about patience, it just changed everything. And instead of the main goal of being to get an elk, it changed to having fellowship with God. Now, I can't tell you how many times we hunted for the whole 10 days of elk season. We're all packed up and we're coming out. And as we're coming out, the last picture there in your page, we got the horses all packed up and we turn a corner and there stands a trophy bull right beside the trail. He's not over 20 yards away, just standing there looking at you the day after season. It was just unbelievable to me how they could show up on that day. But we can say, oh, boy, you know, maybe we ought to just shoot it and pretend like we shot it yesterday, you know. And there's all this stuff that goes through your mind. But you do that if that's your goal. It would be nice to get an elk. We got an elk every other year. Most people out in Oregon get one elk every 7 years. So you got to expect that there's going to be a lot of effort put in on it. It'd be nice to have a trouble-free trip. thinking of the time that it started to snow, and when it quit snowing, there was 5 feet of snow on the ground. It flattened our tent, and it flattened everything. And, boy, I tell you what, that is not what we expected when we went in. But learning more about God along the way made the whole trip worthwhile. And we learned to work with each other and to help each other. Now, I'm going to tell you that it isn't going to do you one bit of good to have a mani and a rope if you don't use them. You load up your horse and you get in, you'll have your gear strung all along the trail. It isn't going to help you just to have them if you don't use them. And it isn't going to help you if you don't read your Bible and pray. They are vital. And the Lord is telling us if we read our Bible and pray, then we won't be discouraged. Now, the last picture there, it says, and when you come to the end of your rope, tie a knot in it. And so the knot that we're tying is around the promise in God's word. And then we're going to hang on to that promise. But I tell you what, when you got a knot around the promise in God's word and you're hanging on, it's going to take some courage to stay hanging on to that and not let go. And I like this quote. One needs to be ready to share what you have learned from the word, from the Lord through his word, pray, or die at a moment's notice. Isn't that the truth? We got to be ready at all times and every day to pray, to be in God's word, to apply them in the situations that we have. So, in this case, we've manned up. In this case, we've used the diamond hitch. And for us that are homeschooling, the diamond hitch is around the Lord and not around an organization, not around a home curriculum program. It's around the Lord. The organization cinch might break. Everything might fall apart, but if you got it around the Lord, you'll still be going forward and you'll still be secure. And at the end of the time, you can look back and say, we had a successful